Hello, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. As he said, my name is Brian. I'm the Youth and Communications Pastor here. I'm very excited to be bringing the message this morning. In preparation for this, it kind of hit me hard, especially with the holiday that's coming up and everything. And so if it's something that really was affecting me, my hope is that it's going to also possibly affect you too. So if you could, in your Bibles, turn to Colossians 3, 12 through 17. We're going to be hanging out in there for a little bit. We're going to jump over to Luke 15 in the middle, and then we're going to hop back here at the end. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab one under a chair in front of you somewhere. If you don't own a Bible, we want you to take that Bible that is free. Take it with you. We want to make sure that you have access to God's word at all times. Also, I actually have one of our large print Bibles up here. In case you didn't know, we'd also have some large print ones free available in the back as well, if that's something that you would like. But we want you to have God's word. It is so important. So please, please take that with you. As you're turning there, I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on me and my life and everything that's been going on. So we can throw up the next pictures up there. I know. Yeah, we made cute kids. The whole like half and half does, I think it's all Susie and none of me in them. But yes, the bigger one, the older one is Nora. She's our oldest. She just turned 4 this month. She is adorable. She is very smart, which means she is a handful. And we love her for that, and often in spite of that as well. But she is amazing. And then also, our youngest is Alice, and she is actually 10 months old today. So she just turned 10 months old. She also is, thank you, she is also very cute and very smart, and also often a handful. Part of the update is, if you weren't here, if you're new, if you weren't here when I gave the last message a couple months ago, you don't know. The third picture up there is what I'm going to be talking about. So that is Alice. She's wearing her patch on her left eye. So she was born with a cataract in her right eye. That's something that can just happen. We live in a broken, fallen world, and broken things happen sometimes. There is no reasoning for it. It just can't happen. It's pretty rare. Some kids are born with cataracts in both eyes. Some are born with just one in one eye. Alice was born with one in her right eye. And so what you do for a kid is you do cataract surgery, meaning you take out the lens. The lens is clouded inside of her eye, and you would just go in and remove it. Now, some of you here, we have a wide range of ages in our congregation, so maybe some of you here have had cataract surgery. Now, for those of you who are more mature on that side, you get cataract surgery, the lens is taken out, and a new one is put in, an artificial one. You're able to see better. Honestly, it's very, very cool. You can't do that for a baby, because babies grow and change very quickly. So while the lens is out, which will be for years, you give that baby a contact. So you're putting a contact in. If you were here a couple months ago, you heard it's like putting a contact on a baby is like wrestling an alligator. It is still like that. Except the alligator has opposable thumbs and can move your hands. So she has a contact that she is supposed to be wearing all the time. Now, after the first surgery, there were some complications, and there was a buildup of scar tissue, which built up pressure, which meant that her eye changed shape a little bit. You can kind of tell that her right eye is a little bit bigger than her left eye. It means she's even cuter now because of it, but it means that it is very hard to find a contact that will fit, that will stay centered, and especially one that will stay in. Right now, we have a contact that's fitting okay, but it will stay in maybe an hour and a half before it pops out. So we will be patching her to help her brain continue to make a connection with her right eye. Whether she has a contact in or not, you can see often she is totally chill with it, especially if she's doing something fun like being in the swing. But with something like this, it is hard to be grateful when there are struggles that are kind of overshadowing the gratefulness or the things that you could be grateful for, right? It's been a struggle, and it will continue to be a struggle for us for years. We're working with a contact specialist. She just went under so they could take some measurements. We got this newest one that still doesn't stay in very long at all, and it's frustrating a lot of the time. As we're talking about gratitude, especially in this time of year, when we run into frustrations like that, it's hard. But as we focus on the things that we're not so grateful for, it only takes a second to just look at what we do have to say, okay, there is a whole lot that we can still be grateful for, that in all of this, let's not let the bumps in the road, the obstacles that we all run into in our lives, let's not let those take away from the things that we can be grateful for. So that's part of what I want to be focusing on. Okay, I gave you way more than enough time. You should be in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Are you there? Yes. Awesome. Okay, are you ready to spend some time in God's word this morning? Awesome. You know the drill. Follow along as I read it out loud. We're starting in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The title I have for the message this morning is just one title this time, and it is this: grateful to you, grateful for you. That is, grateful to you and grateful for you. Would you pray with me as God prepares us for his word this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. God, we thank you. We thank you that in a world that can make it so hard to be thankful at times, that you are our source for that thanks. God, we welcome you here today with ears ready to hear, minds ready to learn, and hearts ready to change. We pray that your presence will be felt, that we leave here different than how we came. As always, God, not my words, but yours. God, we love you. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah, today is the wrap-up of our gratitude series. We've been going through, this is week 3, leading up to, again, the holiday that's coming up, to Thanksgiving. In week 1, Pastor Steve talked about gratitude as something that we should dwell in, kind of this state of being that gratitude is, that Paul in Philippians 4 his expression of being content in any and all situations, in the good as well as in the bad, is kind of a snapshot of what it means to be in gratitude. Not just for the things in your life, but being thankful for simply who God is. Then last week, Steve encouraged us in engaging in what he called vertical gratitude, so gratitude between us and God, giving thanks to God. And we read through Psalm 136, begins with this verse: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Psalm 136 goes on to list a whole bunch of things that God has done that we should be thankful for, starting with creating the entire universe, all the way through rescuing our souls. There's a lot of things that God has done to be grateful for. So the first point that I actually have for you to maybe sum up a little bit of what we've gone through the past 2 weeks is this, is that your gratitude for God is mature when you not only thank him for what he has done, but for who he is. The way I view it is thanking God for the things he has done opens the door. You're saying, I see these things, I see these things that I should be thankful for in my life, that's easy for our minds to wrap around. This is good. Thank you, God, for this good that you have done, this good that you have given me. That opens the door for us to step into the state that we can live in, where we say, good or bad, whatever it is, I'm thankful for you, God. That there is a loving God, not just that he loves something, but that he loves me. We begin giving thanks to God. We land on giving thanks for God. That was vertical gratitude. I bet you can guess what we're talking about today as we are wrapping up the series. We're talking about horizontal gratitude. How do we show gratitude to people? How do we show gratitude to the people that are in our lives? And maybe a more pressing question, the one that I've asked myself a lot, why? Why? Why should we show gratitude, especially to some people in our lives, those that make it maybe a little bit hard to show gratitude? Why should we? Yesterday, we had a little mini family Thanksgiving. We have another one coming up on Thursday. You probably do too. And with this holiday, this brings up a lot of things. And maybe it is coming up for you on Thursday that there's going to be people that are brought back into your life that make it really hard to practice gratitude. So I want us to look at verse 15 of what we had just read. It says this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Why? Why should we be thankful? Paul, in all of his letters, every single one, he's writing to believers and helping them in incorporating Jesus and the gospel into their lives. And Colossians is no different. In this one, he's saying, as members of one body, you are called to peace. Why are they called to peace? Because they are part of the body of Christ. To put it very simply, and this might sound weird, but I think you'll get it, and I think it's something we all need to hear. He's saying, you are called to be this because you are this. So be it. You're called to be this way because you already are. God has already labeled you this way. Start living like it. Be who you are. Maybe to narrow it in even more, be who God says you are. Be who God made you to be. Show thanks. Show gratitude because you are a member of God's family. If your life is truly in Christ, start living like it. My next point is this, is that gratitude comes when we let go of the past and grasp. And I used grasp for a reason. It's not just a physical holding on. It is also a mental understanding of the reality and grasp the reality of our new life in Christ. Peace and thankfulness that Paul is talking about, it comes easier, not just when we've received grace, but when we've actually understood it and we accept it. A gift is only useful if you actually open it. Our four-year-old, she's an interesting kid. She will get a bunch of gifts. It started last Christmas. It happened again on her birthday earlier this month. She will have, let's say, 5 gifts. She'll open maybe 2 and go, I'm done. We'll say, no, but there's more gifts. What kid stops opening the gifts? We'll say, we get it. You want to play with that, but we have more things for you. Don't you want more things? And she goes, no, and then is done. And we literally, last Christmas, it took a week after Christmas to get through all of her gifts. She couldn't play with her gift until she had opened it. She couldn't use the thing that was given her until she had actually accepted it and engaged with it. A lot of us here understand the free gift of grace that God has given us, but how many of us have opened it and actually started to live in it? How many of us have actually done that? We might not feel grateful. And maybe that's because we haven't actually engaged with God. We've taken it. He's in our hands, but we haven't actually opened that up. Be who you are in Christ. God tells us that he is love, and if he now resides in you, then you now should be filled with love. Growing up, I have an aunt named Karen. I still have an aunt named Karen. She's great. By the way, quick side note, justice for all of the Karens in the world. I don't know a bad Karen. They're all lovely people. My aunt is amazing. Karen Riak, if she's here or in next service, also amazing. They're all beautiful people, and you do not deserve the slander that has been put on your name. We stand in solidarity with you. So my Aunt Karen, she is everyone has kind of the fun aunt in your family. She was the one, at least for the ceiling side, and every time growing up, once we were able to start going places, so even in elementary school, if it's like we were going off with a group and we were going to just go to the grocery store, whatever we were doing, going out into public, she would sit us down, became kind of a running joke with us, and she would look us in the eyes and say, "You are a ceiling. Whatever you say, whatever you do, can and will reflect on the rest of us." Now, we would go, yeah, especially when we were like 7. But there's truth to what she is saying, right? Basically, that before you make a fool of yourself, remember that you're representing more than just you. Before you go out there and just say, "Who cares? I'm going to live for just me," remember that you hold the name of a family, that you hold the name of a group. Remember that you are part of something bigger. It's the same here between us and God. We see it in verse 12 as well. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That's who you are. That's who God is saying you are. He calls you holy and dearly loved. Holy means set aside to be used for God. It means you are special for him. I say this a lot at youth group, and I think it's something we all need to hear. When God tells you who you are, when God tells you what you are, believe him. God is saying you are holy, you are dearly loved. Start to live from that. Be who God made you to be, and gratitude will flow from that. I want to take the next couple minutes to look at a parable that Jesus shared, that he taught from in Luke 15, through the lens of gratitude. And this might be a bit of a different angle than what you've looked at this parable before. So in your Bibles, turn to Luke 15. We're going to do 11 all the way through 32, but we're going to look at the first half first. So we're going to do 11 through 24, talk about it a little bit, and then we'll do the second half to wrap it all up. Starting in verse 11, same with last time, follow along as I read it out loud. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is a beautiful story. I've preached on it many, many years ago. I'm sure you have heard sermons on this as well. This story usually is laid out as, look how much God loves you. You can go off. You can do anything. You can destroy your life. But as soon as you turn around, God is waiting for you. That is beautiful. That is beautiful, but how does this fit into the series that we're in? How does this fit into gratitude, particularly horizontal gratitude, that these two guys, eventually three guys, but these two guys, how does this work with that? Looking at that first brother, we can see that his view of his father was unhealthy, that it is off, right? He appreciated his father's stuff, but not so much his father. He looked at his dad, and in saying, I want my inheritance now, he was essentially saying, you're dead to me. Pretend you're dead, and I get to have all the stuff that I will get eventually when you die. There's nothing in this anymore. Once I get what I want, then this relationship is over. Up on the screen, I have a little list of things. We're going to talk about worldly gratitude. And if you're taking notes, you can even put gratitude in quotes if you want. But worldly gratitude, we see in this story, shows up as transactional, it shows up as disposable, and it shows up as resentful. It'll be on the screen. There you go. Nice. Transactional, disposable, and resentful. Transactional. If you're at a point where you say, I will be thankful for the things, only. There's a point where your loved ones become simply business partners for you. It becomes an exchange of goods and services. I'll only be thankful as much as what I get, and I will only help as much as the thanks that I get. Disposable, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. You're saying, this relationship is only as good as what I can get. And once again, it's gone, then this is gone. A lot of people in this world see nothing wrong with this. You exchange, you talk to any kid in the back and you say, hey, say thank you. And often they'll say, well, why? Why would I say thank you? They did this to me. There's transaction in our minds all of the time. Now, the last one, resentful, you might be thinking, I don't see resentfulness in this first part of the story. And that's because we're not done with the story yet. Maybe you've heard this parable before and it stopped right here, which is interesting because there's a whole lot more to it that Jesus talks about. So let's continue on in verses 25 through 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeying your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Imagine being this dad. Imagine you assumed your son was dead. Your son comes to you and says, I want nothing to do with you. Give me what I'm due and I'm gone. You know where he goes. You hear that that place that he has gone is experiencing famine, and you know in your heart there's probably not a chance. And yet, you see on the horizon your son coming home, you must feel amazing. Then finally you have this chance that your whole family can be together in the same house, and you look around and the other son is now on the outside. That's crazy. And so he goes, and I noticed in reading this, as the older son is giving his grievances for everything that's going on, he says, "Your son, I have no relationship to this man. He showed me what he was, and so I disposed of him." And in the father's response, saying, "This brother of yours, maintain that relationship." This brother was so resentful. The younger brother didn't directly do things to him, but he still says, "This isn't fair. The life that I've been leading, I've been doing all of the right things. Why do we show appreciation for this guy?" Jesus, in this parable, is talking directly to the Pharisees. He's talking to people who their entire lives are saying, "I've been following everything. I've been following all the rules. I've been doing all the right stuff. Why would we accept these people who haven't?" He says, "I'm not going to celebrate my brother. I'm not going to appreciate what he has done, even if he's back. I don't care if he's turned his life around. I don't care if he is my brother. I'm not going to show him that appreciation. I'm not going to be thankful that he's back. I am not thankful. Why would I be? Why would I?" The transaction would equal not being thankful. Why should I thank him? Maybe you've said this before, if you've been in this worldly gratitude state. What have they done for me? Why should I thank them? What have they brought to the table? When have they helped me? Why should I be thankful for them? What have they done? Because I know the bad things they have done. If anything, they should be thanking me. In our hearts, we can be in this state where we say, they don't deserve it. Maybe we've been there. Maybe you're even saying, "Yeah, but you don't get it. You don't know the bad things they've done. They really don't deserve it." And my response would be, "You're right." The father's response in here is not to say, no, it wasn't as bad as you think. It's to say, "He's your brother and we love him." We see a glimpse of real gratitude in the father's response. Verse 31, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. This is who you are. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Up on the screens, real gratitude is humble, it is merciful, and it is unconditional. Real gratitude is humble. You acknowledge the state that you are in. You're both saying, "Hey, I understand that there are some blessings in my life that other people aren't experiencing. And I completely understand that I am not perfect. I would love thanks just as much as I'm sure they would love thanks." It is merciful. Yes, there has been bad that has been done, but I'm not going to hold that against the things that I can be thankful for. I'm not going to let these things that I can be ungrateful for shadow the things that I can show gratitude towards. And it is unconditional. Success or failure, I am thankful for you. Verse 31, the father tells the son that everything he has is his. He has been and always will be his son. He's reminding him, be who you are. You're not acting like we are in the same family. You're not acting like someone who's supposed to love their brother. Be who you are. You are my son. You are his brother. Start acting like it. Let's head back to Colossians 3. And I would like to apologize for a lot of the sermons I've given since becoming a dad, because I have compared you to infants and toddlers a lot. I will rope myself into this. I really compared all of humanity to toddlers often. I think there's reasons for that. I would like to remind you that the Bible often refers to us as sheep, which is also not very flattering. So we have some tendencies that we often don't grow out of. Now, when I read through these verses, we're not going to go all the way through like we did last time, but we're going to go through verse 15. I want us to stretch our toddler brain a little bit. So my four-year-old, is four-year-old still toddler? What is that? Doesn't matter. So my four-year-old, she still loves asking questions, and I'm sure will for a very long time. She has the why, why, why. Do this, why? How's that happening? What are we doing? All of those things, all of the time. Now, we're not going to be asking the question why. We are going to be asking the question how. So we're going to do a little exercise. When I am reading, I will pause and point. So don't just, if I'm pausing for dramatic effect, don't say anything until I point. But when I point to you, you will say how, okay? So as an example, it might rain today. The water cycle. You get it? All right? Cool. All right, we're going to read through and ask how when I point. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Oh, okay, so how do you clothe yourselves in all of this stuff? Okay, well, you would do that by bearing with each other and forgiving one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Oh, how do you forgive if someone has a grievance? Well, actually, you would do that by forgiving as God forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Oh, good question. How? How do we put on love? How do we bind ourselves together in perfect unity? Unity, well, you would do that by letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and by being thankful. How do we put on love? How do we live out our lives in peace with one another? By being peaceful with one another and by being thankful. Two and four one another. My last point as the worship team starts coming back up, my last point is this, is that gratitude is the reflection of love. Why? Why do we have to be thankful? Why do we have to show gratitude to people? It's because we're showing love to people. I went through a whole bunch of different iterations of this last point. One was that gratitude is love communicated, that gratitude is love expressed. I didn't want it to be so narrow because there are many ways that you can communicate love. There's many ways you can express love. But at its core, gratitude really is saying, I am showing you love. I'm receiving love from God. I'm going to let that reflect onto you. I see the love that you've shown me. I'm going to reflect that back to you. It's about communicating love. Think about it. 9 times out of 10, when there's a relationship and someone is feeling unhappy or unfulfilled in that relationship, it's because they don't feel appreciated. Whether appreciated for the things they've done or even on a more deeper level for who they are. And what is appreciation if not showing that you're thankful for them? Saying, I see the good that you've done. I see the heart behind the things that you've done. Thank you. I see who you are and I see who you are trying to be. I'm thankful for you. if you love them, thank them. Out of a humble, out of a merciful, out of an unconditional place of relationship with God, thank them. I'm not saying that you should thank them for the bad. I'm not saying that you should just blindly say, well, I was told I'm supposed to say thanks, so I'll just say thanks even though I don't like this. Don't say thanks for the things that are bad, but I am saying look for the good and express gratitude for that. Appreciate the good that you do see. Sometimes acknowledging that you've seen the steps that they're taken, or even just being thankful that you get to see them at all. Whoever it is that you're going to be spending time with on Thanksgiving and going into the Christmas season and for the rest of your life when you run into different people, whatever the history is that you have, there is good somewhere. Are you able to point that out? Are you able to be grateful for that? This is also a great reminder for those in our lives who are the helpers, who love expecting nothing in return. Don't let your gratitude go unsaid and therefore unheard. We are called to be grateful because it is love reflected. Parents especially get the being grateful for someone with nothing having been done yet. When your child is born, it is a long time before they can start contributing to the household chores, to the discussion around the kitchen table, and yet you are thankful for them. You are grateful. You appreciate them. Why? Because of simply who they are. We should be showing gratitude in this way as well. You're called to be grateful because you're filled with the Spirit of God, a God of love, who said that everything hangs on these two instructions: love him and love others. Thank him and thank others. If you have a relationship with God, his love has been shining so brightly on you. And it's time to start reflecting that back to him and to the world and the people around you. I'd like to pray with you. So could you stand before we close in a song? This last song, we've sung it many, many times before. It has this line in it: show me who you are, fill me with your heart, lead me in your love to those around me. Can we be thankful? In spite of the bad, there's always bad in this world, but can we show gratitude? Can we let it shine to the people around us? I've noticed that when we say thanks, when we show gratitude, it tends to multiply. Seek to multiply your gratitude this week. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. God, we thank you for who you are. Help us be thankful for others. God, help us to communicate your love and our love, to shine light on the good, as small as it can be, to find it, to shine a light on it, to reveal it, to help that grow in our lives as well as others. God, challenge us this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.